or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hear ye, hear ye. The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe, Mr. Carl Denninger. He managed. She's much more bright-eyed than she was an hour ago, Carl.
Oh, I see.
On the way in, it was the first time I got, it was a total snoozette, not one word out of her. Just saying, you know. Normally she's chit, you know, but not this morning, so.
I don't,
and
okay.
She wasn't at the Bear game last night, like half the city seemed to have been. But it had some huge, oh, by the way, SP Futures now up 1275, we keep leaking up here. It had some huge deal in the park with a couple of pretty good performers and the whole thing. It was like, I mean, there were a lot of people here that weren't even close to getting in the game. It was like a Super Bowl, for God's sake.
Oh, okay.
And a gorgeous night. I mean, how often do you get a 68-degree, no-wind, total sunshine night in Chicago? I mean, it's like, out of all the days in the year, it's had to be one of the top 10 yesterday and today. Almost as nice, at least for a while.
Well, there you go. I mean, yeah. You know, it's down in Florida, it is insanely hot, but I am not there right now, so.
Yeah, it was a... one of my clients was saying that they had boarded the place up, but now they were taking the stuff down, and it was hotter than hell. It was humid, and well, they're glad the hurricane missed. Obviously, I had visions, Carl, of that thing hitting Florida dead on, wrecking the hell out of the place, going back in the Gulf and reforming and being like the most deadly thing ever. Thank God it didn't happen. Although if you're in Freeport,
you know it's funny because you know everybody's after Trump about that, you know, that thing that, you know, well, Alabama's in the zone, and at one point it was, and somebody asked on my system, you know, hey, are you getting ready to put the boards up? And I said, nah, not yet. I don't see it. I mean, there's a possibility, sure, and there was, but I just didn't see it going that way. But what I did think might happen was that it might like go in somewhere around Stewart or thereabouts, just south of the Space Coast, and just kind of sit there.
Yeah,
that would have been horrible. I mean, that's what happened to the Bahamas.
Yeah,
but you know, another 100 miles west, and same thing, right in the middle of a very, very high rent district, all down the East Coast.
Well, you know, there's a. I'm not going to accuse the president of known a hell of a lot about geography, but maybe he does. I mean, he's in the real estate business. He probably does. But people are quick to jump on everybody. And of course, he gives you enough reasons to do so. But you could say, stupidly on the air, I could say something like, gee, I hope that hurricane doesn't bother Illinois.
Right.
And everybody can say, boy, this chief's a moron. Has he ever saw a man? Fact is, there have been hurricanes that came up and made their way all the way up to where there was huge rainfall in Chicago and there was damage. And it wasn't like a hurricane, but they've made it up this far as being a storm to be reckoned with in terms of water and everything else. And there's been damage here from hurricanes.
Now, oh, sure. I mean, you know, what I always think is so interesting is people are, you know, they're always so focused on the, you know, the fact that hurricanes, of course, you know, a lot of wind, right? But the reality is that most of the damage isn't from the wind, it's from the surge. And then the secondary cause of damage is flooding from the rain.
Well, and some of them, even a Category 1, before we used to have all these 4s and 5s, back, you know, I'm not going to say global, I don't know what the difference is, but you could have a Category 1. In those days, you would read that a hurricane who's even a Category 1 spins off all kinds of tornadoes, which cause all the damage.
Well, that happens all the time, too. I mean, during Ivan, there was one that, fortunately, it went into a almost unpopulated area in Mariana, and there was an EF3 that went through there, and there were several homes that were slabbed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's people are like, you know, most of the time the tornadoes get kicked off are little ones, but this was not a little tornado. This was a pretty good-sized tornado, and it did, I mean, if it had gone into a heavily populated area, it would have done a lot of damage.
One of the guys, and this sounds wacky, but we shared a spot on the trading floor, Carl. How does that sound on here? We had a spot that actually held two people, and he would always go down in the morning, and he would trade the opening, and if he made a few bucks, he'd head off to play some basketball, and if he had a good morning, he'd, you know, have a couple of beers, never come back. Nicest guy. We were friends for forever. Talk about standing next to each other. But there was plenty of room there for, it was really a spot that was big enough where if the two of us were there, if it was busy, there was room. Because I was skinnier then. One of the things. But, actually, we could stuff a third person there if you needed him. If somebody really had to get in and trade, you always made room for somebody. And, his parents had this condo forever, or I'm going to say it was across the street from the beach, maybe a block in, I hate to use this term, somewhere along the Redneck Riviera to Biloxi or someplace.
And, yeah, sure.
And so it's you know, it's a block away from the ocean. Well, nice place. He used to go down there, bring the family if the parents weren't there. I mean, you know, the family used it forever. And all of a sudden, one of the ones, I think it was the one, was it one after Katrina? One of the ones that whacked further west of New Orleans, east of New Orleans, hits this thing like dead amidships. They go down there, and the thing is a slab. There's nothing there. Now, what happens to all your furniture and everything, your TV? There's got to be some farmer's field somewhere inland where the guy's just picking TVs up out of his corn or his rice field or something. But where all that crap goes, I have no idea. I mean, never been, nor do I ever want to know, I guess. He goes, there's nothing there except the slab. So the insurance company, even though nobody was there, everybody evacuated, the insurance company was convinced it wasn't the wind, it was the water, and it wasn't insured right against the water, so they didn't want to give him a dime. And I'm going to say 4 years later, they finally gave him, you know, 35 cents, 40 cents on the buck or something like that, and, you know, they never went back down and rebuilt or anything. It just was a loss. And of course, but the insurance company was absolutely convinced what happened, even though there was nobody there to see it. So who knows, it was a combination of the wind and the water and, or, you know, who the hell knows what ran into it. Could have been a hurricane, a tornado. But it was all water. Okay.
One of the things that, you know, that happened over in the Bahamas and happens with these storms a lot is that, you know, you can build a very stout structure. Okay. But if somebody's 50,000 pound boat breaks free and bashes into it, you're going to have a really bad day.
Yeah.
When you got 20 feet of water there, guess what? The boat will float in that 20 feet of water until it smashes into the side of your house.
I have a question I asked Lou yesterday, and he suggested as well we talk to you. But there's all these, I'm not going to ask you, but you've got a 75-foot gorgeous sailboat or powerboat in the Bahamas. You've got warnings at least of a day or two that this thing is coming right at you. You're, what are you, 6 hours from Florida, do you have any obligation to get your fanny in that thing and head for Key West and get it out of the way, or do you just tie it up and when it wrecks, send the bill to the insurance company?
Well, so the insurance companies all these days and have for a long time wanted a written hurricane plan that what you're going to do. And so in theory, that's the case. However, I don't know how this works in the Bahamas and outside the United States, but I know in the United States, the general rule that the insurance companies all use when it comes to marine stuff is essentially that everything is no fault. So if you do all the right things and you have your boat secured, you know, as well as you reasonably can, and some other jackwad used one thin little anchor line, and of course he breaks free and plays pinball with everybody else, they don't go after him. They just pay your claim.
Okay.
All right, and that's a huge problem because people that kind of sort of would like to get out of their boat because, you know, they're all money pits. They're, you know, anything that floats, flies, or you know what's, right?
So
the reality is that during these storms, you do get some number of people who essentially sell their boat to the insurance company.
Yeah, because we had a dude who was, he ran one of these seminar companies, and we were never involved in the seminar company. Of course, you can't do that in our business. Nor would we have anyway. We didn't need the rule to tell us not to. But we would give a speech on, you know, how to put orders in and how, you know, different types of orders and types of things at some of the seminars. And he had a yacht. I'm going to say he was 55 feet or something, Carl. And one of these storms was coming, and he was, let's say, Fort Myers or someplace. And evidently there's some river, and there's like one river in Florida halfway up or something. He drove the thing up there and drove it 10, 15 miles inland on the river to make sure it didn't get touched. I mean, but I don't think...
You can do that. And, like, you know, by us, in where I live, there's a section of the intercoastal between Destin and Panama City that has 60-foot-high cliffs on both sides. And so if you don't have anywhere to go, the strategy is that you go up in there. It's narrow. This thing is very high. You tie up to the trees on both sides, and the storm goes screaming over the top of you.
Okay.
Now, the problem is you have to stay on board because the minute the storm's over, the Army Corps reopens that to navigation, and if a, you know, 400-foot-long barge tow comes down there at 15 knots and comes around the corner, he cannot stop.
Yeah.
And you'd better be out of there because if you're not, okay.
Well, I looked at the devastation as one marine at Marina yesterday in Bahamas, and if I show up with my check and the insurance company, there's got to be 100 boats there. My first thought is, not one of these idiots knew this thing was coming and could get this thing out of here?
If you like your boat, you don't leave it in a place like that when there's a storm of that kind coming, because there's not enough, there's just no way to secure against that if you get lifted off the pilings or if the docks get lifted off the pilings because the surge is too high. And what you saw with a lot of that, I looked at one of the overflights, a lot of people brought their boats up on the hard, on stands, on land, right? The problem is, if the surge is higher than the marina, it lifts the boats off the stands, floats them off the stands, and they get smashed.
Well, the surge there was higher than the highest point in the island, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know about that, but you know, if you get 20 feet of surge and you're at 8 feet of elevation, you got problems.
I mean, I was in the Bahamas one time, which was sort of a... By the way, I have to ask you, because we're going to talk about economics here in a second. I would not want to be at the Atlantis... That even though I know, you know, the engineers, I'm sure, did a pretty good job on it, I want no part of being in that Skyway Michael Jordan suite during a hurricane.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know that's the spot to be. What is that thing, like 30 stories up or 25 or something?
There's this thing about all this glass, you know?
For those who don't know what we're talking about, they have the hotel, Atlantis, I guess the hotel, resort hotel, has two towers, okay? And obviously towers are built to sway, correct? Well, in the middle, connecting the two towers, not on the first floor, the second floor, but like two-thirds of the way up, is this bridge, for lack of a better term, connecting unit, that is a suite that is the Michael Jordan suite, which has to have the world's best views. But I'm thinking, if those things start to sway, I don't know how much each side can move because each at that point up, each one of those towers can probably move, what, 4 feet? So that means you double that, that's eight. What kind of a you know, what kind of articulation device is connecting that thing that allows it to move out and back like 8 feet if it needed be? I mean, that's...
Well, I don't know, but if it comes apart, you're really going to be unhappy.
Well, you're just going straight on straight.
Yeah.
Anyway, Carl, we got the numbers coming out today, and I in anticipation of your appearance, I don't think we talked about this last time because I think I just looked it up, and maybe we did. My memory's failing me, but I went back and did like the year in review, and the labor stuff, and I go to your page, which is at A1. Although you got a better one, I use the A1 because I'm not as good at this as you are. And I will dig it up right here in a second. And this year, considering the millions and millions of words spoken by slap-jawed people on the various channels, it's got to be the quietest year I've ever seen. It looks to me like we've got 300,000 more jobs. I'm going back to December 31st to the end of July. With all the 250,000 this month and 50 this month and this, we're going to hell. No, this is the best economy ever. Looks to me like we're up 300,000 jobs. We put roughly 300,000 people off the unemployment rolls and put them in column B where we don't know what they're doing. And virtually nothing's changed. And 300,000 over 7 months is an average of, what, 30 a month, which is...
Yeah.
And why... But if you talk to anybody, this is the greatest job market. It's just, yeah, what are they looking at, Carl? I have no idea. They're just not looking at anything.
Well, what they're looking at is essentially that when you get to the point of what's called full employment, right, you're shuffling people around in different buckets. And in addition, we're putting about 2 million people a year into the economy, into the workforce. All right, that's just the number, okay? And so, you know, people say, well, you know, we have to have this many jobs. And the problem is that population increase in the working age population keeps going up. Everyone says, you know, no, you know, the population's plateauing in the United States. No, it's not. Now, where the problem is, though, is where those births are coming from and in what skill, you know, in additions to the workforce and in what part of the skill set they're coming from. Right? And that's a very serious issue because and it shows up in the other statistics. You know, I've talked for a long time. You look at the unemployment and the employment gain rate, and where's it all coming from? It's coming from people that have high school educations and less than high school educations. If you have some college or bachelor's degree, you're not losing ground, but we're not gaining jobs there. Right, as a participation rate perspective, that's not where the gains are coming from. They're coming from the lower end. And the problem with doing that, of course, is that the lower end is not paying in more than they're taking out from the system.
Well,
so,
right. Yeah. I mean,
from a sustainability standpoint, yes, the economy looks great from a top level view of employment. But when you dig into the statistics, what you find is that yes, we're putting people to work at the lower skill side, but there isn't any more gain really to be had for people that have, say, bachelor's degrees and PhDs.
Well, it's right. How do you? We I think are better than most, Carl, digging out the problems that other people seem to want to ignore. How do you fix that? We're almost at the before you ran. Your name was being burned about the station house here regarding the your studies on the F-150 pickup and how this inflation numbers are all screwed up. But Kevin and I were talking about, okay, how do you, if you look at it, I'll use the same example I always use, a Notre Dame education or a Cub ticket is probably 3 to 4 times more expensive than the CPI would lead you to believe if you just looked at the CPI and knew a ticket price from years ago.
Right.
How do you, I'll use a Pullman term, how do you retrofit the numbers? When you see that later and you go, we've been doing 2% a year in hospital and 2-3% too, and all of a sudden it's 10 years later and we go, wait a minute, this crap's doubled. I don't know what we were doing, but we were doing it right. How do you retrofit the numbers in an index like that that's supposed to be bottom up? In other words, if we wanted to fix it, how could we?
Well, this is the expected outcome when the corporate mantra becomes, we ran out of ways to get efficiency here, because they're just, I mean, if you think about it, what have been the great innovations in the last 20 years in the United States? Okay, there really haven't been any. All right, I mean, yes, computers have gotten faster and stuff, but the really big forward moving stuff.
The forward moving stuff happens. is in medicine. People are alive today that 10 years ago would not be alive, but nobody knows even what that stuff is. I mean, some of the heart procedures, some of the cancer treatment.
People are alive, but at what cost? Okay, and the thing is this: I can do all sorts of things if we don't care about money. All right, there's all kinds of stuff that you can do if you don't care about money.
Okay, but I think. I jumped on something, an example I probably shouldn't use, Carl. I mean, the heart procedures and cancer stuff, and you immediately, rightfully so, were for how much of that cost. But I'm going to say the cost of having all your teeth at age 66 like I am, my parents didn't have their teeth when they were 35, for God's sake. I mean, the cost of routine stuff, you know, of your eyesight, you can still wear contact lenses when you're 80 now. You couldn't have 30 years ago. I mean, the cost of that kind of stuff, we're so much further along and so much more efficient in that than 30 years ago. It's hard to even imagine. I mean, I think.
Well, it's true. And in those kinds of areas, you're right. All right. I mean, you know, you can walk into you can look at this another way. You walk into a Walmart, buy an air conditioner for $150.
Yeah.
Okay. That was impossible 10, 15 years ago. The problem is the reason you can buy it for $150 is we offshored the labor to make it to a place where they dump all of the industrial poisons on the ground and in the air,
right,
and they don't
right.
care, and they have 10-year-old kids screwing the thing together,
and we,
right,
if
which
we
is
paid,
illegal in the United States.
And if we paid
so
200,
we've done that, and as businesses have run out of ways to drive corporate profits and margins, and therefore stock prices, that's been the way that they've done it over the last 20 or 30 years. And what that means is that the guys that actually were able to make a fair living in the United States doing these jobs, what are they doing now? They're pulling coffees at Starbucks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but I mean, I was, well, we always talk about that, and I want to, okay? But what I'm trying to get out of you, because I don't know the answer, is when the numbers get so far askew, and we actually, if all of a sudden, you know, Solomon or somebody like that, Washington gets cloned and he gets in the Oval Office 2 years and he says, hey, these two idiots, Carl and the Chief, they're actually pretty bright guys and I want them to help me out on some of this stuff because I listen to their stuff. Bring them in there and they say, help me fix it. I'm not so sure I know where to start because the numbers are, and numbers are my life, Carl, but we're so far off. I don't know how you, I mean, when you come on TV tomorrow and you say, this is up, you know, these prices are up here, but by the way, the average person is up. You could come out tomorrow, the median income guy, he could make 10% more next year vis-a-vis the price numbers. And I don't even know if he's gaining, Carl, because the 10% is going to be over $10 or $11 a year, which you mentioned earlier, is not even a sustainable living. So, I mean, the guy almost has to double to get to where he needs to be just to not be on food stamps, for God's sake.
I mean, right. And that's the problem is we've embedded all of this false economy number, you know, in that we've claimed, well, there's no inflation, there's no this, there's no that. And then on top of that, we're not the only ones playing this game. Okay. We live in a global world. All right. And, you know, I mean, you hear Trump screaming about, you know, the Fed needs to lower interest rates because the ECB is doing it, because the Japanese are doing it, because, you know. All right, well, now, wait a minute here. If the guy next door to you is in the process of putting a gun in his mouth and is going to blow his brains out, does that mean you have to do it, too?
Well, right. But I guess what I'm saying
I mean,
is, but numbers can be... Can be such a lie, Carl. I mean, it's, you know, again, it's been my life. But I mean, even simple stuff. And I mean, people say, well, what the hell is the Chief talking about this morning? Simple stuff. When GE goes from 30 bucks to 5 bucks, and all of a sudden it's up 25 cents. GE is up 5% today. That's the biggest move. It's up a quarter, you idiot. I mean, right?
Yeah.
You know, you know, so, I mean, so the guy, I mean, you hear people talk every day, if you listen to this stuff on Fox and Bloomberg, you'll say wages are increasing at a tremendous extent. Wages going up 3% from a $10 number. Where are you at? 10:30 at the end of the year? Who cares?
Right.
I mean, we're not even close to the percentages being, it's like G being at 5 and going to 5.25. It's up 5%. So what?
There's a pernicious side of this when it comes to government costs that are imposed on people. I mean, where I live, there's a toll bridge. Okay, when I moved there, it was a dollar to go across it if you had one of the transponders. It was 50-cent discount, so it was $1.50, but a buck if you had a transponder. All right, so to go to and from work was $2 if you were on the other, if where you worked and lived were on opposite sides of the bridge. That bridge is now $4.
Right. That's nice.
Okay. You still get a, and by the way, you don't get a 30% discount. You get a 50-cent discount.
Right, right.
Which means it now costs you $7 to go to and from work. Well, guess what? If you're making $9, you spent almost an hour worth of your labor just getting to work and back. And,
right.
And if you had the gas in for the car, you just spent an hour of your work. So if you work for 6 hours because you're part-time, they won't put you on full-time. You're working, you know, 28 hours or whatever, so you don't trip the Obamacare limits,
right?
Then, hey, guess what, buddy? You know, you work 5 days a week, okay, and 20% of your gross gets absorbed by these clowns at the Bridge Authority.
Well, that's right. I did, I don't know if I told you, I probably have, I've told everybody else, I did my study of, you know, I was listening to these people totally ragging on, why don't people get off the couch and go get these jobs at $10 an hour or 11 that are so, you know, they seem like everybody's got a help wanted sign, which is true, you know. So, and I went through, in Illinois, I'm sure is worse than any place, although maybe not. It might be someplace else is worse. Carl, if you bequeathed some guy $5,000 to go out and buy a junker, right, and you gave him his insurance for the year and his gasoline for the year, I went through the process of, the tax on the sales tax on the car, which is 6.5%. Fortunately, they don't charge locally in Illinois. If you can title a vehicle, they don't charge the full 10. I don't know if everybody knows that or not, but that's 6.5% on the car. The title, which is like 100 and something, the plates, which are 100 and something, the city sticker, which is 100 and something. And if you have to park it in front of your house, that's another 50 for the. I essentially went down the first 65 hours you worked, went to the state just for getting the car over to be your car. That didn't include the price of it. And people wonder why. I mean, you can't assume all these people are just not rational or lazy. They might just be rational. I can't do it. But if I can't get there by CTA, you know, I can't take a job for $10 or $11.
Well, or it takes 2.5 hours to get there by CTA because you got to take 6 buses and, you know.
Well, the Chicago Skyway here is up to $5.50.
Yeah.
So this is the thing that the city. So if you come from Indiana, but I got a question just in terms of, even though I'm crazy today on these numbers, let's say, for instance, the Tri-State Tollway here, which you've lived in Chicago, so you know exactly, it's got the transponders as well. Well, the cash price is, I think, way more. All right.
Oh, yeah, it's gone to the roof because I came up there, you know, about 6 months ago and went through there. I was like, all right, no, we're going around that.
Yeah. Well, but I'm saying, okay, so let's say the regular toll is $1.50. And the stupid or the cash is $2.50. Then they say, all right, we're going to raise the tolls, but guess what? The people at the transponder, since we're only taking the heat from you, you're citizens and you actually vote, yours will stay the same, and we're going to raise the other guys to $4. Now, we're essentially trying to clip the poor guy driving from Montana to New York that doesn't know any better, right? I mean,
right.
So now, is that... Now, you and I are running the CPI, and I keep saying it, as much as I criticize it, it's hard to do. You and I are running the CPI. Now, is that an increase in cost? Because it's not if you're here. Or is that an increase in a stupido tax that there's no line item stupido tax in the CPI? Does that get in there or not? If you're out of state.
Well, it should get in there because some percentage of the travelers end up having to pay it. But I don't know exactly how that ends up working.
Carl, hold that thought, buddy.
We've
got to break.
Yes.
Gotta go to break and we'll come back with the jobs report. Dial up $12.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, The Control Freak's Guide to Life, Money, and Probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Right now. Welcome back, Stocks and Jocks. All kinds of news and stuff here, for God's sake. We've got the S&P futures up 1075, down a little bit with this number. Nasdaq futures up 19, Dow up 120. The number came in at 130, which is lower than the 165 estimate. Unemployment rate unchanged at 3.7. Average hourly wage up 0.4%. And we got a labor force participation of 63.2. We'll go through all this with Carl in a minute because there's a huge change in the household survey, which I'm going to have to pick his brain about how the hell that all happened. Anyway, over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 69.6%. FTSE down 4, call that flat. CAC around up 6, call that flat. Asia, we've got some movement. Nikkei up 113.5%. Shanghai up 13.5%. Hang Seng up 175.6%. So pretty much even across the board to the upside over there. Bonds, 1.59, way above the 1.49 was the other day. I don't think the Fed's going to give us a half a point a cut. They're going to give us a quarter because the middle part of the curve is starting to move up. So I don't know how much farther they got to go down on the front end. Bun, minus 0.59. Japan, minus 0.24. Oil, down 73 cents. Was down more than that earlier. 55.57. Brent down 91. That's 60 bucks. Gold is down 11.90. Silver down 45 cents. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Thanks, Chief. Morning, everyone. The time is now 7:35. Chicago weather today is partly cloudy with a high of 76, low of 59. Phoenix is partly cloudy with a high of 108 and a low of 87. In football, the Packers beat the Bears 10-3. And in baseball, the White Sox beat the Indians 7-1. Cubs beat the Brewers 10-5 while the Diamondbacks were off. And in traffic, there was one accident on the Eisenhower going west before 17th Avenue, causing solid traffic. Expect up to 30-minute delays. Nothing else. Back to you.
Carl, I don't know if you've noticed here, but I'm so glad you're here because I would have no idea how to explain this. The number coming across on the establishment side is probably somewhat bearish. I mean, not bearish, but below estimates. And I'm looking at the household survey, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, there's a 600,000 more people working in August and July, twice as much as the first 7 months of the year. Where the hell did that come from?
Well, it didn't. So there's some very interesting things in this. It took me a minute to get it. The website was playing, you know, we're not available right now, of course, because everybody's banging their F5 key, right? But I got it now while we were on break. And I'm going to have to dig into the data on this a little bit because the civilian labor force, okay, which historically always goes up, dropped by 900,000 people on the unadjusted, not seasonally adjusted numbers last month. Now,
did you see on the adjusted number, it's got it up 600,000.
Well, I understand that, but I'm looking, you know, again, this is the table I use is, you know, A1. It's the third one off that PDF file. It's below the break of the, you know, the block of text.
Well, I'm using A1, what am I using? I'm household data, historical, A1, employment status, civilian, non-institutional population. That's the one I'm looking at. But you look at one further down.
Well, A1 is the one that's, if you're looking at the PDF file in this month, it's like page 11. Okay, and it's got the non-seasonally adjusted numbers on the left side, and then it's got the seasonally adjusted that run for, you know, the previous year, and then the last 5 months seasonally, and the previous year and the last 2 months non-seasonally. But I always use the numbers I put in my spreadsheet are the NSA ones because that gets all the game playing out of it.
Well, I'm
and
looking
if you
at
really want to compare things, you want to look at year over year anyway.
I'm looking at the seasonally adjusted ones. That's why we're. Do you
right,
have your,
that's where your difference is coming from. But there's some very interesting things in this. A 1,000,001 people left the labor force last month. Okay.
Well, how big is this now, adjustment? Because I got 600 joining. The adjustment's
well,
a 1,000,007.
That's the seasonal adjustment nonsense. Okay. But here's the interesting thing. This is usually a firing month. Okay, which is one of the problems with using a seasonally adjusted numbers is that they'll take that out of there. All right, but the firings happened. Okay, you know, they really did.
All right, so you're saying,
normally
okay.
That firing number is, you know, 1,000,002, 1,003, 1,004. It's because it's all the kids going back to school. Right,
so okay,
I mean, basically what it is.
All right, wait one second. For the listeners, what we're saying here, and gobbledygook that maybe only Carl and I are getting here, is Carl's saying the number actually went down 1,000,000, but since it happens every August, there's 1,000,007 put back on the adjustment, which 1,000,006, to where I'm showing 600 up and he's showing 1,000,000 down. Is that correct?
Well, the employed number on an unadjusted basis this month is -569. Okay, now that is not out of the historical band, but it's on the low end.
Okay.
All right, last year it was 1.5 million. Year before that it was 894. So, I mean, you know, and it fluctuates because a lot of it depends on exactly where the sample week falls, whether you got canned because you're going back to school the week before, the week during the sample, the week after. So, you know, we'll see what next month looks like. I would expect that next month's number on an unadjusted basis will be weaker because this one was a little stronger than normal. All right. But the thing that I thought was interesting about this figure, and that I did not expect to see, and hasn't shown up in the last couple of years, is the not in labor force number went up by 1,000,001. And that normally doesn't happen in August.
This one has it down 300,000.
Well, on the adjusted basis, yeah. But again, this is, this is just a, again, there's a lot of seasonal variation here, okay? Don't get me wrong. But for this to go up by 1.1, it raises your eyebrows a little bit. So the employment participation ratio, it was down 3 ticks to 60.8.
I had no idea these adjustments were this big, like over 1,000,000.
Well, that number's normal, by the way. Okay. That drop is normal for August.
Okay.
So, I mean, all in all, this is not a terrible report. I'm just saying there's some kind of, wonky things in the data. I need to read the whole thing. My first glance at it is that there's some wonky stuff in there. The other thing, though, that I think everybody needs to pay attention to is that we keep doing this 30,000 a month that we keep putting into health care. And these are people that are not actually providing care to real people.
According to the ADP report,
there's 24,000 this month.
Well, did you look at the ADP thing Wednesday?
No, I didn't get a good look at it.
Well, it was something like 140,000 was the, or 100, whatever it was. It was 100,000 people hired in service and healthcare out of the 140.
Yeah, I believe that. It's all services. We're a services economy. Okay, I mean that services are where it goes is not really the big deal. The big deal is that we've got 400,000 people that have been put into the workforce at jobs over the last 12 months in supposedly in healthcare, and out of those 400,000 people, 35,000 of them are doctors and nurses. The rest of them are paper pushers,
right?
And are the reason that the cost of healthcare is 5 times what it should be. And the problem with trying to fix that is that all of those people are going to get fired.
They seem to hang in there.
Well, that's why we don't fix it, okay? Because if you stop this extortion racket, what happens to the 4 million people that got jobs doing that over the last 10 years?
Well, yeah, it is kind of. I mean, when you think about it, Carl. Fortunately, I haven't been a doctor too much lately, but there's got to be one or two people in every doctor's office, in addition to the doctor, that aren't nurses just to play the paper game.
Well, exactly. And the thing is, how hard is it to run someone's credit card and take their money, right?
It's got to go back
anything.
And forth.
But that's not what we do anymore.
Yes,
yeah, right?
The idea of you walking in and getting a test done, like a small test, and just handing a person $30 and walking out, that ship has sailed.
Well, yeah, but it has to unsail because we can't afford to continue to do this.
Well, every piece of paper, I remember, I'm going to go back to my Pullman days, if you did the cost analysis, every letter that went out of the place, and a lot of this insurance stuff is still done on letters, some of it isn't, every letter that went out of the place in those days, you could say cost you $15 or $20. I mean, today it's got to be a lot more. I mean, you write the letter to the insurance company, pay this, and they write back, screw you, we're not paying that. Okay, how about this? No, how about this? I mean, there could be 5 letters on a $150 claim.
Right.
It's so much easier for somebody to give you $150.
Well, what would be easier would be to give you, $30 to start with and just forget about all this stupid
stuff. Well, that's right.
Stuff.
That's right. That's right. And, but it's, I get, but I was looking at these, we were talking earlier, the idea that this 0.4%, in the average our earnings. Now, your first thought is, let's see, 0.4% times 12, 4.8, that's almost 5. That's pretty good, except for the fact that if you're talking about what we did earlier, that in 1978, a guy was making $20 at an automobile plant, and now he's making 35. He's got a lot of catching up to do. He's not going to catch up very much at 50 cents a year. I mean, there's real dis... You talk more articulately than I did. There's real dis... I wonder what the word would be. Dismemberment here of various parts that you're not going to get there by 2% a year. I mean, you almost need to, like, double that guy's wage. The banana.
Well, but that's what happens when you distort the figures for so long, because compounding works both for you and against you.
Right. That's right.
So, I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. And I mean, you know, when I look at this employment report on the annualized basis, which is the, you know, I mean, when you think about it, you know, when you really get down to it, the month-to-month variations are not, you know, they're not that important. Right? I mean, everybody, you know, hangs on every word and the market trades on it, whatever. But in terms of the broader economy, it's the annual picture of things that matters. You know, this was not terrible. We just poked our head above the population add rate. So, you know, it's positive for the year, and it's on the back of this month's report is where that happened, because we were right down on the zero line last month.
But when does the economic theory, Carl, I was reading, I don't know if he's your buddy, I want to call him your buddy. Who's the guy? Al Arian. He was talking about old rules just don't apply anymore. Now, you and I have been known to take an economics class when we were younger. Why we did, I don't know. But when you talk about labor rates, they're the same as anything else, or should be. And you should be willing to hire somebody up until the point where was the marginal return equals the marginal cost, correct? Isn't that...
Basically, I mean, you know, that's what I used to tell people when I ran my company, is that, look, you know, no matter what you do here, you have to add more value to the enterprise than you cost me, or you're going to lose your job.
Right. but now it's working. I'm going to say, and it's just isn't because you and I, because, I mean, who knows if we're, I mean, I'm going to say if you and I got hired in a Walmart tire shop, not that the people there don't do a good job, a lot of them do, I'm going to guess that if you and I are running the place, or if some of the other listeners are running their own companies and stuff, I mean, people I've met, we've got some pretty good listeners, I'm going to say that the amount of tires sold out of there in the next 6 months is going to go up by 25%. And for you and I, they're going to say, hey, these two idiots, we better, you know, $12 an hour isn't cutting it for these guys. I mean, they're making us, you know, 200. And yet somebody at corporate's going to say, yeah, I don't care who the hell they are. It could be, Jesus Christ. We're not, the number's 1250. They don't like it. They're going to lump it. I mean, somehow these theories, whether it's combination, if it's bigness, something is wrong with the normal supply and demand here, Carl, which you and I, we keep talking around the subject, and I think you have a better feel on it. Some of the stuff went overseas. There's too much supply. There's too much. Whatever it is, that theory is not, I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with the theory, but that theory is not working right now. Virtually anywhere. I mean, you talked about it last, I don't even remember, last time you ran, you were saying the PhDs is being cut off at the knees by these people, the foreign people that are over here working at a salary, and they can't leave from company to company. So you essentially have, for lack of a better term, slave wages or chattel wages that are keeping everybody else low. I mean, how do we break out of this and get back to where the economic theory actually works?
Well, you got to stop with the nonsense. But you know, the problem is that the Chamber of Commerce and the large employers, no matter where they are, it's not just the people bringing in the illegal Mexicans that are picking the strawberries. Okay, it's on the high end.
Yeah, it's high end.
Right? It's the reason that you can't tell somebody who's 15 or 16 and is pretty good with computers, hey, you know what? Go get a 4-year computer science degree, learn to code, and you know, you'll make a decent living. That's not necessarily true anymore, because there's some guy in India who's willing to do that job for 20 grand a year, and you've got 50 grand worth of student debt. You can't live on that.
Right.
All right, and so we have to shut that nonsense down. It's a policy change. It's not, economics works fine right up until you can find slaves and you can enslave people, whether it's here or somewhere else. As soon as you can do that, all the rules of economics and supply and demand go out the window.
All right, well, let me ask you, politically then, we'll make the next step here. Politically, back, you know, when I was growing up, you couldn't have pulled that crap off as a government. In other words, the government couldn't favor the corporations to the incredible extent vis-a-vis labor, because you had unions. I mean, now, granted, there's stuff wrong with unions. They became bureaucracies like everything else. But for the good news is they were essentially the voice of the middle class, whether they knew it or not. I mean, in a lot of ways, politically. So how do you, I mean, right now, I mean, I'm not just going to say Trump, any president will come out and say, we need these people here. We've heard people say that, immigration-wise. We need these people here from these other countries taking these high-end jobs. we need these people here. You and I don't. If our kid or we have a PhD in something something, why would we want them here? We want to make $10,000. I'm not anti-immigration. I say, but the way it's done, if you bring somebody over here and from China and they say, okay, you can have a job here. I don't have any problem with that, Carl. The idea that he only gets to work for Carl's place at 50 grand and if the going rate goes to be 70, he can't go down the block at 70. He's stuck there at 50. So Carl's place never has to pay the going rate to somebody else. That's wrong, Carl. But who writes that crap into it?
But this is what happens when you let the people who are trying to drive cost of labor down through any means possible be the ones that write policy. And they're the ones that write policy. And the people of this country need to find their pitchfork and their torch and learn to use it again. We used to know how to use it a couple hundred years ago.
Yep.
We forgot about those things. And so we have this problem on all sides. And while we're talking, I just pulled this up. I found the A4 table, which is down there a ways. The employment population ratio for people less than a high school diploma went up 8 kicks last month. Okay? That's a big gain. But if you have a bachelor's degree, it went up 2 ticks. So where'd all the gain go?
The people making $12 an hour.
Yeah.
The Menards and the Home Depot.
And by the way, how do we have a robust economy when that's where all the gains are going?
When those people qualify, you know, one of the most sobering statistics when you talk to, you know, don't take this wrong, if you talk to some conservative people and they'll say, look at all these people on food stamps. And I'll say something, you know, this just to diffuse the conversation by, do you realize that some of these families are in such shape, and you could probably critique me on the number. I said, there's probably 20 million people in this country that would qualify for food stamps or whatever they call them now that don't even apply because they actually are working and are too proud or whatever to do it. I said, that's how bad it is for a lot of people that we went from unemployed to salaried unemployed, essentially.
Right. Well, that's essentially what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but when you, and again, when you look inside the data, this is what you keep finding. And this has been going on now for a long time. This is not something that just happened, you know, in the last couple of years. We've taken the ability to actually earn a living, and we've done it by distorting the data. You know, how does the Federal Reserve get away with having a Fed funds rate where it is? Because they say, well, there's no inflation. Really?
Well, how do intelligent people, and I'm not going to say you, I might say there, because you got your own companies and did real, and you do more research than I do, but how do people that are supposedly a lot brighter than me on national TV and Fox and CNBC, I listen to people on CNBC, and, you know, I love them because John and Peter are on or someone, I know some of the other guys, Guy Adami, but how does somebody continually say, well, these drop in interest rates are good for everybody because it lowers. They must know, Carl. It would take 2 seconds on a Google machine to realize that credit card rates have actually gone up since the interest
right.
rates have been this low. And if the chances, I mean, if I was on the same panel, I would never be invited back. I would say, wait a minute, before we go there, does anybody in this panel actually believe that if these guys drop by a half, was it next week or the week after, that you're going to get a letter in the mail saying your credit card rate went from 25 to 24. Does anybody at this table honestly believe that's going to happen to anybody? So when you say this helps the everyman, other than possibly mortgage rates, which all it does is inflate the price of the house and get you back to the same spot, tell me how this affects anybody except the top end to the good side.
Well, it doesn't. But the problem is this, and this is one of the other things. People say, well, you know, it helps the housing market. No, it doesn't. You have to have somewhere to live. If I sell my bubble house and I have to buy another bubble house, I don't gain anything.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Carl. Well, it's not funny because my significant other is in real estate, and there's a lot of people that bought homes, I'm going to say 2006, 2007, where they bought them for, say, I'll use the average numbers, 235. And even today, they've made it back. And Chicago hasn't had the huge bounce back. Like, they got down to, you know, 160, 155, and now they're back to 220, say. So you're still underwater
right.
a little bit, but you've been paying some of it off and you had a down payment. So you're, you know, it's better to sharp stick in the eye, but it's not the best thing. It's still a boot in the ass, basically. But once in a while, if I want to jam up the conversation and be a knucklehead, which I try not to be too often, but I'll say, you know, but the house you sold when you bought this house, that you bought at, say, 90, that you sold at 160, so you could buy this one at 235, where's that house today? Well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, it has a lot to do with everything. If that house is back down to, you know, the 100 you paid for it, you're still 40 grand ahead of the game, right? If you count them both, because you essentially did a spread. I'll use a floor term. You paid 75 grand for the difference between that house and this house. That spread is still 75 grand.
Right.
So you really didn't lose anything on that jump. What do you mean? I paid 235 for this. It's only worth it. What I said was, now this is obviously, I know this because I'm an option trader, but you paid a buck for the spread. The one you bought's down two, but the one you sold's down two, the spread's still a buck.
You're right. The spread's still down. And actually, if you moved in class of house, okay, you know, right, a two bedroom house or four bedroom house, because you want to have a couple more kids, right? The spread in percentages has probably not moved at all.
Right. Yeah, I'm saying, so but you don't want to take that because you think that's yours, you know. Okay, well it is, but you basically sold one to buy another. Now, if you and I just our first house plunked down 50 grand down and paid 235 and went down to 160, now that's another ball game.
Well, here's the thing though. But for the person who's trying to start a family or grow a family, that all of a sudden matters, doesn't it?
Well, sure it does. Carl, we got a Dash Buddy. Good stuff as usual. Hey, I could not open that thing you sent me, but we'll send that out. The thing you said was coming. It said my computer said you can't open this. So whatever, we'll talk about that because I wanted to read it. S&P futures up 950. Nasdaq futures up 1430. Again, the number was 130. Unemployment rate 3.7. Back on Monday, Stocks and Jocks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.